Praise God. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 real quickly. And I just want to read a couple things to you. Whew. Praise Jesus. Moving in the spirit, Sarah. That's your thing. You're going to feel more and more comfortable. You didn't ask for it. You were content, but God's going to use you that way. Amen. Oh, let's go to verse 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper. Notice that David got up early in the morning. Productive people don't sleep all day. And took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him, was the word Brother Brett pointed out to me because he'd been faithful to read this and study this. So David was there because he'd been commanded. He was there out of obedience to his father. He was not trying to make a name for himself as his brother accused him of. That shows, watch this, one must not be too sure of things. Okay, I want to just spend another moment on this a little bit. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday. You have to be very careful to when you attempt to judge other people's motives. You just because you think you know why somebody's doing something doesn't mean that you really know why. We often we tend to personalize a situation, and we think if we look at reactions on the surface, and we think, okay, if I was to react that way, this is why. You know, we don't even really necessarily do this on a conscious level. But subconsciously, we begin to kind of judge and make assessments based on the way that we operate. You with me? Okay? And so here's the danger. Once we have a reoccurring thought pattern, as Eliab did about David, he decided that this was true, even though it wasn't true. Do you understand the danger in that? You guys with me? Are you guys all like stressing because, oh no, pastor's just starting to teach at 7:15? Or are you good? Okay. All right. Come on, you guys got to hear me on this. This is a problem. When people start judging people's other motives and think that they understand, and really only God has that perspective. Right? Sometimes we need to ask people. How about the brother could have said, David, why are you here? Right? And I noticed this as I reread it for the 100th time this last couple months, is that the brother who was publicly embarrassed when he was passed over now attempted to publicly embarrass David. You see that? He didn't take him aside and go, I know the pride in your heart. You know, come on, you can picture how this went down. He called him out in front of the other soldiers there. He attempted to intimidate him and really to misuse a position of authority that he had in his life at some level because he was an older brother. There's a lot you can learn about authority and authority relationships and stuff when you study the scriptures. The children of Israel, they had a love-hate relationship with Moses. Sometimes they loved him. The other times they were like, why did you take us out here to die in the wilderness? And if I was Moses, and I understand this as a pastor sometimes, as you know, I'd be like, I didn't part the Red Sea. I led you where? I didn't make it be dark for 3 days. Do I have power to make the river turn into blood? You know, but why did you, there weren't graves enough in Egypt that you took us out here to die in the wilderness. And other times they loved him, you know. And so they had a love-hate relationship, which is often the case that people have with spiritual authority when they still are struggling with a slave mindset. You with me? Okay. Because they're still kind of see themselves in Egypt. So Egypt gets exposed because of the circumstances. I told you what happened here. The circumstance here is Goliath has come and revealed what's in everybody's heart. The other thing I saw, which I just think is really funny, is Saul, Eliab, and Goliath are all tall. This is a story you don't want to be tall in. Isn't that funny? Not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with being tall. You understand what I'm saying? But it is just kind of funny. I don't know. Maybe you didn't find it as funny as I did. But I was reading it today, and I noticed, I was like, they were describing how tall Goliath was. And I was like, another tall person in this story. How many tall people are here in this story? Praise God. So David was there because he was commanded to be there. Sometimes, you know, people are operating with, they're doing things that you don't know the full story of why. Right? How many of you have ever ran in and like accused one of your kids or got after one of your kids, and then the other parent said, no, I told them. And you're like, oh, all right, my bad. Well, you're lucky that your mom said that was okay, and you know, and you try to save face, you know, and but you, what'd you do? You stuck your foot in your mouth because, and then, you know, what would have been better if you came in and said, why are you doing that, right? You know what's really sad about the story is that it said that when David got there with all the food that was there from Jesse, okay, for his brothers, he left the supplies and he ran to the front to greet his brothers. He was happy to see his brothers, and he ran to greet them. And instead of his brother being happy to see him, he insults him. Now, yeah. Now, I saw something else. I got to find the verse. Well, let's go to verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in a battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. So he comes and runs to them. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. I want to just back up a little bit, if you can follow me here. There's something I wanted to show you. Verse 13, if you can handle that. Okay. The three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons who went to the battle were Eliab, Abinadab, and the third was Shema. David was the youngest, watch this, and the three oldest did what? Followed Saul. It just jumped out at me in the scripture. You understand? And that's why they're hiding. And that's why when David shows up, that same insecurity that's in Saul has got in his army. It's good stuff, right? All right, let's jump back where we were. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. They were dreadfully afraid. And they said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he's come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter, and they don't have to pay taxes anymore. Here's what's really interesting about this. Okay, you guys get more when you come on these nights. Isn't this good? I had so much more, too, and you come back next week. But Goliath has been running his mouth for 40 days. This is the 40th day, 40th or 41st. It says for 40 days, morning and night, he's come out. So maybe it's the 41st day or maybe it's the 40th day. Can we agree on that? Okay. Has he done anything yet? So it's the 40th day and he's running his mouth and everybody's terrified. At what point do you stop and realize he's just talking? Why am I falling for this again? Come on, that's for somebody here. Why am I falling for this again? How many times does this have to happen before I realize that he's just running his mouth? Right? Aren't you glad we stayed for that? Come on, that's for all of us, right? Oh, we're like, man, I can't believe I fell into that again. David, the first time he heard him, here's a modern translation. David, here's Goliath. Why doesn't somebody kill this guy? Why doesn't somebody tell this guy to shut up? Are you kidding me? And everybody's like, we're too busy being terrified. Did you hear him? You see how tall he is? And so they fall for it again. Verse 26, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine, takes away the reproach? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? He should defy the armies of the living God. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused. Remember, envy, the word picture in the Greek, is boiling over. So listen to this. When he heard David speak, it triggered the anger in him, and it was aroused, and it rose up inside of him. Then all the ugliness came out of him through the words that he spoke. Remember Jesus said, you know, when he told all the Pharisees that were all like watching everybody to make sure they washed their hands the right way. You missed a spot going to hell. Okay. You know, that's how ridiculous it was, right? And so Jesus was like, hey, guys, it's not what goes into you, the food and all that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. And then the disciples got all intimidated by the religious spirit, and they went with Jesus alone, and they were like, Jesus, do you know that when you said that your Pharisees got upset? And Jesus was basically like this, modern translation, I don't care. It's the truth. What you say defiles you. What you say continually is the overflow of your heart. That's why, listen, oh, if I could get this in you, Joshua 1:8, chew on the word, okay? Meditate on it day and night. If the word picture is a cow that's chewed, they have many stomachs. They chew their cuds. They digest part of it. It gets spit up again. I know this is gross. They chew it again. It goes digested again. It gets spit up, and they chew it again. That's the word picture, what he said. Meditate on this word day and night. Don't let it stop coming out of your mouth. Then you will have success. Here's what people want. Pastor, lay hands on me. I need the success. God, please, please, please help me, touch me, change my circumstances. But listen, what does he say in Ezekiel? That you would eat the scroll of the word and find that it is sweet in your mouth. So the recipe is that you would devour the word. You would eat it. You would chew on it. You would live by it. You would never stop speaking that truth. You would meditate on it day and night, and then the success comes. You understand? Here's the issue. We're too busy listening to Goliath run his mouth. And so all we want is God, deliver us from Goliath, deliver us from Goliath, deliver us from Goliath. And here's what God's saying. I already have. I already sent the Son to deal with all this stuff. Do you want me to come die again? Right? Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying that it's the truth. You understand? He's already sent a man down. He's already dealt with Satan. He's already dealt with everything that could come against us. You know, it's all been provided for us in the Word. You know, the sad truth is that most of us, the Goliath's voice is so loud in our ears that it paralyzes us from eating the word that we would find is then sweet in our mouth. You start speaking the word. When you meditate on it day and night and it gets in your mouth and it starts coming out of your mouth, then you'll find that the next time, I've told you this, that Goliath starts running his mouth, all of a sudden you look and there's like, hey, I didn't see that sword. There's a sword. I'm gonna pick up that sword. I'm gonna fight back. What does the Bible say to you? Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You understand? Take it up. Speak it. It will be sweet in your mouth. Meditate on it. Chew on it over and over. It produces success in whatever it's talking about. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and causes the earth to bud and to grow, so shall it be with my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish all that I sent it to accomplish. But if Goliath paralyzes us and we never pick up the word, we never put it in our heart, we never chew on it, we never meditate on it, we never speak it, then it's not God's fault. Just listen. Oh, it's so good. You come on these nights, you get this extra stuff. Do you understand now why Jesus is also called the Word? Here, I said, what does it say? I sent my word and healed you. Come on. What reinforces all that? We're like, but I got to know, I got to know, I got to know. All you need to know is there's a bloodline. You understand? There's a bloodline. I sent my word and delivered them from all their fears, from all their destruction. Right? Come on, that's one of the reasons this story's in here. So that we would understand that Goliath, you know, is symbolic of Satan who runs his mouth. And you know, watch this. God just let Goliath run with that. You know what I mean? You can imagine this. If you're up there and you're God, you're like, you're like, go ahead, say it again. Right? And then God's like, okay, I think it's time to bring David, a type of Christ and DNA genetically related to Jesus. Man, follow that story. There was a time when there was only one person left on the entire planet, that one descendant. Everybody else had been killed but one kid that was related to David many hundred years later, and they hid him in the temple because of the prophecies. The enemy killed a whole family, but one guy was hid, and sure enough, Jesus came from the house of David. That's another subject. But that's in there. It's in the Word. You guys getting anything? All right. Now, just real quickly, I want to focus on these things. The Bible said that when David's brother started insulting him, that David, he basically had enough of it and he turned away from him, right? Okay. Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 27:12. The prudent see danger and they take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now, I want to talk about this real quickly because this is the main crux of what I wanted to say here. You're getting a discipleship lesson. You're getting an advanced discipleship lesson that we teach some things in level 3. I want to teach you some things because there's confusion, okay? Forgiveness is lavished. Trust is dispensed, okay? Because what happens is people, when you remove yourself from abusive situations, people will accuse you of, but you're a Christian, you're supposed to forgive me. And people get confused and think I'm supposed to keep putting myself in a situation where I'm abused physically, mentally, sexually, verbally, over and over and over because I'm supposed to forgive. Listen, forgiveness is lavished. You forgive, but trust is dispensed. And if you find that somebody's been continually proving themselves untrustworthy and is injuring you, and that they're attempting to keep you and hinder you from the call of God on your life, you have to turn your back to that voice. Sometimes it's a voice that is from many, many years ago. The person might not even be alive, and you still hear that voice has become a hindrance to you. Now, real quickly, okay, I don't have time to go to it. I had it in the scriptures, but I wanted to show you how Jesus dealt with this, okay? In Matthew chapter 16, you can read it on your own time. This is a great story about how Jesus, when all the disciples come back and he goes, who do men say that I am? And they're all like, oh, you know, some people think you're Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Elijah. And he goes, that's nice. Who do you say that I am? And he made it real personally because you can't go, well, my dad thinks that you're my grandma, you know. No, no, no. Who do you say that I am? right? So that's good stuff, isn't it? So so Peter's like, you're the Son, the living God, you know, even he who comes down from heaven. And he gets publicly blessed for this, right? We remember this story. Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this, but my Father in heaven, on this revelation, I'm going to build my church. You're the man, right? But just a few short verses later, when Jesus now reveals to them that he's going to die in Jerusalem, Peter takes him aside and rebukes the Lord. Come here. That's not going to happen to you. So a few verses before, it was like, on this revelation, on this rock, I build my church, right? And then a few verses later, here's Jesus talking to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. Now, everybody look at me, okay? That's how fast you can lose it. That's how fast you can be right yesterday and wrong today. Are you hearing me? That's why we need each other, guidance, all the rest. You okay? God sets it up so that, you know, if you're thinking something crazy, you know, you go talk to your friends and they're like, okay, that's crazy. If all of a sudden you're like, Jesus showed up in a UFO last night and I know it was Jesus, although he looked like a Martian, and, you know, he came to me and he told me, smoke as much weed as you possibly can, and then you're going to see me and I'm going to hear you, then we can all look at you and go, you're crazy, okay? That didn't happen. It's not biblical. Let's get back to scriptures, okay? You understand? Okay. Sorry if that offends you. Okay. I didn't go through sensitivity training, so you'll have to forgive me. Okay. You can miss it. You understand? Don't get offended by it. Listen, that's your pride. That's your flesh. No, I'm never wrong. I always hear from God. Okay. Here he is getting the revelation from heaven. You're the Son of the Most High God. You know, it could be the next day. Get behind me, Satan. You understand? You with me? Okay. So what happened there? Well, the same one that, yes, accurately heard from God all of a sudden became a hindrance. And he said, you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. What is he basically saying? It's a fancy way of saying that you're in the flesh. You're operating according to the flesh. And there's a real issue there, because when he began to talk about his suffering, it kind of scared Peter a little bit. Because when you understand that the Lord suffered, the next question is, will I suffer too? And so he got in the flesh, right? And when he got in the flesh, here's what it actually says, is that in the Greek, it says that he hindered, which is a picture of Jesus was trying to walk this way and he was standing in the way. And so what did he say? Get out of the way. You with me? Why am I saying this? Because some people, when you talk to them about that David turned his back on his brother, and you say that there's times in your life that you have to recognize that there are voices that if they continue to hurt you, that you are within your right to forgive them from a distance. Hey, this set me free. I used to think that, man, I've just got to give everybody 1,000 more chances to just hurt me one more time. You know what I found? It became harder to forgive them. It's easier sometimes to forgive people from across the street. You know, it's like, you know what? There comes a point where it's like, you know, you've cheated on me too many times, and I don't trust you anymore. And it's going to take time to earn that trust back that was lost. I do forgive you. I do love you, but I don't trust you anymore. Do you understand? I got to teach the churches, or people stay in abusive situations their whole life because they think, if I don't do this, I'm not a good Christian. Hello? Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. And that's good. That works for women too. Go from the presence of somebody that's foolish when you do not perceive in them the lips of knowledge. There's times when you need to, in order to walk the walk that God is having you walk, and you recognize that there's somebody that's a hindrance, okay, that has positioned themselves in the path that you are trying to go, and they're continually abusing you and hurting you, you have to do like David did and turn his back to him. How do I know that? Because that's in the scriptures. That response that David gave to his brother has been written down. The Holy Spirit, God breathed left that there for us to see the response to the continual attack. How do we know that? David first said, you know, what have I done now? Meaning that there had been a pattern of abuse that had been happening in his life, and he turned his back and said, I'm not going to listen to that any longer. It is keeping me from doing the thing that God called me to do, which in this case, whether my brother can deal with it because of his own insecurity or not, is to take Goliath out. And whether he likes it or not, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I came here to bring him lunch. He's accusing me and telling me I've done all these things. I've got these bad motives that, you know, he doesn't really know me at all. And the truth is, I'm tired of hearing it, and I'm turning my back to that garbage. Come on, is it in the Word? Watch this. Proverbs 27:12 again. I want you to see this. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going, and then they pay the penalty. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that they, you know, they make an error, and you know, I'm thinking of baseball where somebody makes an error, or football, penalty, 15-yard penalty. Okay, next play. It's not that simple. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple continue and pay the price. You understand? You with me? Okay. All right. That's enough. I went far too long. If 100% of you want me to keep... No, I'm just kidding. I told you on Sunday, if you came, I would go a little deeper. It's important to me that the church know this message, because I've seen far too many people that are abused in all sorts of relationships. Sometimes it's a work relationship. I'm not just talking about, you know, somebody hitting a wife or a husband or something like that, you know, but I'm talking about in all sorts of relationships. People feel like this is what I deserve. You know, this is the way that I should be treated. This is the way I've always, this is what God's called. I'm just bearing my cross. This is what God's called me to do. And I want you to see that when it comes to the point, there comes a point where you forgive you lavishly, but you dispense trust, all right? So that you no longer, what are you doing? You're taking refuge. You're protecting yourself. You're doing what you need to do to take care of yourself. And God, it's confusing to people because people think God's called me to be in this thing. You know, and sometimes if he gives you the grace to do it, praise God, whatever. But you with me? But many people are confused by this situation because they just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm just not good, and I'm just supposed to be somebody's whipping boy, and this is what I'm supposed to deserve, and this is how I serve God, is by, you know, being abused and all the rest. And I want you to notice that although Jesus loved Peter, the first inclination of Peter interrupting his path, he was like, get behind me, Satan. You know, he separated the emotions from it because, oh, yeah, this is going to hurt Peter. He's going to have to work through it. But at this particular moment, I don't really care because God's called me to redeem man, including Peter. You know, and I can't, because he's emotionally hurt, stop going the direction that I'm going. You understand? And that's why do I want to say this? Because I said something real quickly on Sunday, and I said that sometimes that there's people, when you find they're trying to hold you back, they're former associates from a lower level of life, and you're moving on. And I said that, and that may seem callous. I'm not saying that you don't love them. I'm not saying that you don't forgive them. But that when people try to emotionally hold you back from the thing that God's called you to do because of their own insecurities, and they attempt to manipulate the call of God on your life, you understand? You can love them, but you have to put some distance between them. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. Amen? Now, as I said on Sunday, that doesn't mean husbands go leave your wives, wives go leave your husbands. You know, listen, understand what I'm saying without, you know, being ridiculous. Okay? There are cases, obviously, when that does need to happen. But all I'm saying is that you need to recognize the voice of God, the voice of Goliath, and, you know, and the voice of the accuser that comes through other people sometimes because of their own insecurities. And it'll you'll be surprised where it'll come from. This is brother is supposed to love his brother's supposed to love him, right? It's like, you're supposed to believe in me and encourage me, but instead, you know, you're the one that's trying to hold me back. And so don't ever be surprised, because we all have flesh. Jesus wasn't surprised with Peter. Did he still love Peter? Yes. Did he still speak directly to Peter? Yeah, Peter had to line up. This is the way it is. You know, if Jesus, can you imagine if Jesus was like, oh, maybe you're right, Peter, maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, that's how some people live their life. At the first suggestion, you know, they're like, oh, okay, you know. Right? You with me? There needs to be some conviction. Your yes be yes, your no be no. And other people are going to have to deal with that. You know, as a pastor, I have to deal with that all the time. I'm just going another couple minutes. I have to deal with that all the time, that you know, people want me to do this or they want me to do that, and I say yes or I say no, and some people get mad, and some people say all kinds of things about me, and you know, it and all kinds of stuff, and you just have to keep going on. You just have to deal with it. It's like, I mean, come on, anybody that's a boss or right or a parent, yeah, how many of your parent kids ever tell you you're ruining their life? Right, and you're like smiling because you're like, no, I'm not. You know, I'm not ruining your life. I'm, you know, but that's what they're saying and that's what they're thinking, and you get accused of all kinds of stuff and all the rest. And you know what? You cannot cave to that stuff. Can you imagine what a, you know, you would not be an effective parent that every time your kid threw an emotional fit, you caved into them. Right. So it's no different in any position of leadership or authority. You can't cave in because this is what this person wants, and they're going to get mad or emotional or throw a fit if you don't do what they want you to do. Your yes is yes, your no is no. And if you find that they're hindering you, you're like, get out of my way, Satan. Does that mean I don't love you, or you know, or somebody doesn't love you? No, it just means that you are in the way, and I have been put on this planet to do something for God, and I will stand before him and give account. And the moment that you begin to hinder that, you have to move out of the way. You understand? That needs to be the first and the most important, significant thing that drives you in your daily walk, is that your life would please God. And people respect you more for it. Because people actually, they like to know where the boundaries are. You know, as a school teacher, the kids love when they come into a class where, or the first day of school, the teacher lays down all the boundaries, and the 98% of the kids, they love that because they're like, I'm going to be in a safe and secure environment. And the 2% are all mad inside because they realize, I'm not going to get away with anything here. I remember I had a kid come in high school, first day of school, came in, put his head down on the desk like he was going to sleep, and I looked at him, I said, oh no. I said, I don't care if you sleep in class all day long so that you're awake in here, but you will not sleep in here. I said, you're all messed up. Are you up in the middle of the night doing English? And he's just looking at me, and I'm like, well, why the heck would you come in here and sleep? You know, and I watched all the other kids. Like, they're so happy because this kid's ruined their whole experience for them. And we're setting up the education system now that we don't want to upset this one person. And then that one person comes into a church, and the pastor and the whole church won't do what I want them to do. It's a kingdom. It's not a democracy. We tend to bring our political belief system into how the kingdom of God should operate sometimes. You know? And politics needs to stay out of the church, amen? Get ourselves in trouble when we start getting all political. It's like the moment you start getting political, it's like you can watch the anointing just come right off. It's so true, isn't it? You know? Because there is no one size fits all, and these people are all right, and these people are all wrong, and you know, if we all sit down together, if we, you know, it's crazy. The moment they got rid of God, these supposed to be the smartest people in the country, and none of them can agree on anything. They're all in there, you know, and it's like, are you kidding me? We could get some middle schoolers in there and come up with, you know, some ideas, and you guys fighting with each other. This is ridiculous. It's embarrassing. That's why we pray for them. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to shut up now. Did you guys get anything tonight? It's good tonight, huh? Let's make it all personal. You know, what is God, what's the Holy Spirit saying to us? What's he saying to us personally? You know, don't doubt in the dark what you hear in the light. Okay? God speaks to you in here. This is this place under the anointing. That's where you get the most clarity of what God's actually saying. That's why I tell you that the worship is so important, because things get really clarified in that environment. You start getting impressions and you're like, man, this is what God's wanting me to do. And listen, he loves you. He's not going to steer you wrong. Go the direction that he's calling you to go. Amen? All right. Wow, this was way too long. I'm so sorry. Okay. No, I really am. I'll feel good. Pray for me because I'll feel bad about it after. But I feel like that there were, because listen, I know that it's late and people got kids and all the rest. And it is my intention, like the marriage thing, to get you guys out a little bit earlier. But I know that there were people here tonight that really needed to hear this. And I also know that the worship environment enabled it to come out. Okay, so what do? You know, so bear with me. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, God. Make it rhema to each and every one of us personally, God. Help us to understand what it is you're saying, Lord God. And give us grace, Lord God, to put your word first and tell Goliath to shut up. In Jesus' name, amen.